Welcome to Fertility Friendly Food, the podcast. My name is Stephanie Vlahakis and I'm an expert certified fertility dietitian and nutritionist and founder of The Dietologist, a multiple award-winning virtual fertility and pregnancy nutrition clinic serving thousands from around the world and, of course, the host of this pod, Fertility Friendly Food. This podcast is dedicated to all things health and nutrition in the world of fertility, reproductive health, and pregnancy. Each week, I bring you practical snack-sized episodes to help improve your lifestyle on your trying-to-conceive journey, alongside guest expert interviews to help inspire you to learn and grow whilst you grow your family. Welcome back to the podcast. And now that we are out of March and Endometriosis Awareness Month, we are back to regular programming. And I can hardly believe I haven't done a podcast episode on this topic before. You guessed it. I am talking about the Mediterranean diet and fertility and IVF and what the Mediterranean diet is, the research in support of it, and some key gaps it can create in your diet, plus some practical tips from me to implement it. Just before we dive right on into this topic, which I know will be super popular, I want to answer a question from our community. P.S. If you want to submit a question to the pod, feel free to fill in a 30-second question form that is always linked in the show notes for you, or drop us a voice memo on Instagram at @the_dietologist. We love receiving your questions and answering them for you in this long form format on the pod. So this question is all about olive oil. Is olive oil safe to cook with? I thought you should only reserve this oil for salads and dressings only, not cooking due to the smoke point. But I notice you recommend cooking with it. Great question. This is probably one of the most common myths about extra virgin olive oil. Is it being not good to cook with? And it is a big fat myth. See what I did there, punny, because olive oil is full of healthy fats. What we know now is that extra virgin olive oil is one of the healthiest and most stable oils to cook with. So the natural antioxidant content of the olive, such as vitamin E and polyphenols, they actually protect the oil when it gets to higher temperatures from forming something called polar compounds. Now, polar compounds and also the formation of trans fats is what we should actually be looking at when we're talking about oil stability, safety, and health with cooking rather than the smoke point. So smoke point is a bit of a false marker to look at with oil, especially when cooking. Research has shown that when cooking in domestic settings, like cooking at home, extra virgin olive oil trumps all other oils when cooking. So yes, you should dress your salads and dip your bread in it and use it for dressings, but you should also be cooking with it. And personally, I also bake with extra virgin olive oil instead of butter because of the incredible fatty acid profile. It's high in monounsaturated fats, low in saturated fats, and it's a great source of vitamin E as well as other antioxidants, which we know are so important to help with reducing inflammation and also supporting your egg and sperm quality too, which I will get into a little bit more in this episode. So on to today's episode, all about the world famous and the constantly best rated and most doctor endorsed diet to date, the Mediterranean dietary pattern. Today's episode is brought to you by Cobram Estate, Australia's most loved extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested, and cold pressed right here in Australia, Cobram Estate produces award-winning premium quality extra virgin olive oils rich in antioxidants and monounsaturated fats. You can find Cobram Estate's collection of fresh Australian extra virgin olive oils at any leading supermarket or use the code FFF20 for 20% off when purchasing directly from their website at cobramestate.com.au. And yes, FFF is for fertility friendly food. Let's define what the Mediterranean diet is. Note, it is not another fad diet. The Mediterranean dietary pattern is more than just a way of eating, which is what diet actually really means, FYI. But it is actually a way of life based on the traditional eating and lifestyle patterns of people that reside in countries like Spain, the southern parts of Italy, and Greece. A traditional Mediterranean diet is actually founded on the Cretan, which is the island of Crete in Greece, the people that live there, their diet. And if you didn't know, I am Greek, so I am personally familiar with what this diet looks like from my upbringing and present day diet as a Greek Australian. Although I'm not from Crete, so, and neither is my family, so a little bit distance there, but I have had the pleasure of visiting that beautiful island, and honestly, it truly did have the best food, in my opinion. Now, the Mediterranean diet is founded on a foundation of movement and enjoying meals with others. That's right, nothing to do with food at all. Whether it's doing the chores, cooking, walking to friends and family's places to catch up and socialize, and of course, things like dancing, kneading dough, and so on, all of this is about keeping your body moving in everyday ways. Now, I know it can feel like this is just not practical in modern day society. I totally hear you. But before you turn a blind eye, think about the ways that you can choose to be active in your day-to-day life. Perhaps it's walking instead of jumping in the Uber, taking the stairs at the train station or at work to change floors, and practicing social engagement regularly and especially with meals. That's right, the Mediterraneans don't scoff their breakfast in the car on the way to work or sitting in front of their laptop like a to-do list item. They sit down with friends, family, or colleagues to eat and share a meal together, talk, laugh, connect, and unsurprisingly, this is pretty beneficial to our digestive health, hello, proper chewing, but also our mental well-being too. We know that eating together wards off social isolation and loneliness, which can certainly contribute to worsening mental health amongst many other things, which is one area in which the Mediterranean diet has also been thoroughly researched. So you may be asking, what do you actually eat on this diet? Well, the way that this dietary pattern is structured is focused on foods to eat every day, foods to eat a few times a week, foods to eat less often, and kind of structuring it around that. So foods to eat every day include vegetables, whole grain bread, cereal, pasta, rice and grains, fruit, nuts and seeds, extra virgin olive oil, legumes, beans and lentils, herbs and spices. So the next category is eating a few times per week. So these include fish and seafood, yogurt and cheese, poultry like chicken, turkey, quail and other small birds. And then eating less often category is red meats and sweets. What to drink? Plenty of water. The Mediterranean diet does talk about a small glass of red wine with food enjoyed with your social group. And let's be real, coffee definitely makes a strong appearance in the Mediterranean diet too. What does this dietary pattern actually limit? So it limits excess amounts of alcohol, added sugars, and typically what we call as dietitians discretionary foods. Foods like chips, chocolate, ice cream, biscuits, pastries, cakes, so on, that kind of category of foods, soft drinks, saturated fats from red meat and other animal products, as well as processed meats like bacon, ham, salami, lunch or deli meats. So now that we know what it is, let's talk about the benefits on female and male fertility in turn, and it's also used in IVF studies. So for female fertility, there was a study that was done on 485 women aged 20 to 45 years old with a presenting difficulty getting pregnant, and they were compared to match controls with at least one child, and they found that better compliance with the Mediterranean type diet was associated with a reduced risk of difficulty getting pregnant. An observational prospective study, which is a different type of study design, looked at the Mediterranean diet patterns being correlated positively with higher blood readings of folate and vitamin B6, and that was also linked to a higher pregnancy probability by about 40%. Another study of 204 women under 35 attending a Greek fertility clinic who were within a healthy weight range showed improvements in clinical pregnancy and live birth rate with greater adherence to the Mediterranean style diet. However, this benefit did not seem to be reproduced in those aged over 35. Another study called the Earth Study was conducted on a little over 350 women who underwent a total of a whopping 608 IVF cycles across 10 years. So most of them were doing two cycles is what I'm gathering, almost all of them. So showed a higher adherence to the Mediterranean diet versus healthy eating or other fertility diets were associated with higher probability of live birth. So that all to say, from the research, what we can understand is that people that comply more closely to the Mediterranean style diet are more likely to experience better success with conceiving, whether that be IVF or unassisted conception. However, it is not going to necessarily overcome the age-related fertility factor, which, I mean, I think unless medicine advances, we're not going to overcome, most likely, with a diet. Who knows? Stay tuned. Maybe I'm wrong and research will show us otherwise. But for the time being, I think that's what this data is pointing at. And the potential mechanism may be improved micronutrient status for things like folate and B6, but may also have other benefits that are indirect that we are yet to quite comprehend or study. Now, what about male fertility? So there has been some research about male fertility and the Mediterranean diet. So one study of 225 men attending a Greek fertility clinic, interestingly in this study, 51% were reported based on BMI to have a quote-unquote overweight or quote-unquote obese categorization. Welcome to scientific literature. The language used, it's not particularly polite. It's very blunt language. Anyway, that's a story for a different day, but just wanted to put that out there. And 20% were smokers. Better adherence with the Mediterranean diet was associated with better semen quality that was in line with the WHO guidelines. They were more likely to have abnormal sperm parameters, things like sperm count, morphology, motility, concentration, if they were less compliant with the Mediterranean dietary pattern. This also supports other literature specifically showing improvements in sperm motility with the Mediterranean diet. Another really curious study looked at very young men, 18 to 23-year-old male university students, and they showed that the Mediterranean-style diet was linked with a better total sperm count. Other studies have looked at general healthy eating or what's often termed as prudent dietary patterns with commonalities to the Mediterranean diet. So some common areas in which they share are higher intakes of fruit and veg, legumes and beans and whole grains linked with improved semen quality, including less DNA fragmentation, which DNA fragmentation levels have been associated with poorer fertility outcomes and particularly poorer pregnancy outcomes as well. More studies have been done specifically looking at particular ingredients when it comes to the Mediterranean diet. So a randomized controlled trial, which is kind of the best quality evidence before we get to a literature review, did a study on 111 couples undergoing IVF and IVF with ICSI. ICSI is where they take the sperm and actually inject it straight into the egg, usually due to male factor fertility concerns. And the first group were given a supplement drink enriched with omega-3s, vitamin D, plus they were also given additional olive oil and an olive oil-based butter-like spread for just 6 weeks. And then the other group were not given any supplements beyond, you know, the standard folate or had any dietary advice. Interestingly, they looked at the way that the embryos developed and potential signs of embryo quality. And they did show that there was altered rates of embryo cleavage within the supplemented group, and this was associated with improved embryo quality. Now, it's tricky to know exactly which components would be most relevant here as they looked at omega-3s, vitamin D, and olive oil. So whether it's the antioxidants, whether it's the anti-inflammatory benefits of omega-3s, vitamin D, all those things we know independently may have a positive effect, so it's hard to tease it out in this example. I think think it's also important to note that there are a number of other health benefits of the Mediterranean dietary pattern to our health aside from fertility. Things like mental health, heart health, body weight, type 2 diabetes, PCOS, and also promoting healthy aging and longevity. So certainly taking up this way of eating is going to serve you not just for your preconception and fertility health, but potentially for many other areas of your health and well-being too. You may be thinking, are there any cons to this way of eating? Well, potentially. Whilst there are certain micronutrients that this way of eating supports, including boosting things like antioxidants, folate, B vitamins, vitamin D, plant-based iron, iodine, lycopene, zinc, selenium, vitamin C, vitamin E, CoQ10, and carnitine, which are all well known for their fertility-promoting benefits for both female and male fertility. I've just mixed them all in there, but some are more relevant to female versus male fertility. But there are some notable gaps, the first being calcium. Some research suggests that there's an inadequacy with the traditional Mediterranean diet only providing 60 to 70% of the recommended daily intake when following these guidelines. Adding extra servings of dairy has shown to retain the cardiovascular benefits of the Mediterranean diet while still boosting calcium status. So this can be an easy workaround, and that's really because they're only recommending yogurt and cheese every few days, whereas the Australian dietary guidelines, for example, recommends cheese, yogurt, or milk, you know, 2 to 3 servings per day to reach calcium requirements. However, I suspect the reason why the Mediterranean diet isn't significantly lower than that 60 to 70% is because of the consumption of bony fish. So things like sardines, anchovies, and also in Greece, for example, there's a lot of consumption of foods like whitebait, for example. So there's probably a lot of other non-dairy sources of calcium that enters the diet as well. Choline is another nutrient of note, found in eggs, meat, fish and dairy, many other plant foods as well, can be much more challenging. So just out of curiosity, I looked at the Greek population choline intake, which was about 320 to 380 micrograms per day, and compare that to the target of 425 milligrams per day. It's not way off, but it can certainly be improved. And we know that higher choline status before and during pregnancy is something we want to be prioritizing for baby's brain development, as well as the health of the placenta. And it also gets carried through into breast milk and so on and so forth. So certainly prioritizing those eggs a little more may be a workaround there, but they've yet to research that more specifically. The third nutrient gaps that we tend to see is iron and zinc. So there is some mixed research on the adequacy of the Mediterranean diet for female iron requirements especially, and there seems to be a desperate need for more research here. And there's just not enough data in adult populations. There's some evidence of adequacy in male adolescents. Teenage boys don't have very high iron requirements unless they're extremely active. Despite the presence of a known iron inhibitor called phytates that are found in iron-rich foods in the Mediterranean diet, like pulses, lentils, and beans, so that natural phytates can inhibit plant-based iron absorption. That can usually be overcome by adding a squeeze of lemon juice for vitamin C to enhance uptake, but it's very interesting because females, particularly menstruating females, have a significantly higher iron demand, and that does rapidly increase in pregnancy, and the absorption of plant-based iron sources is just not quite as good as from red meat, for example, which is something that's advocated to be consumed less frequently. So I think this is a key gap in any diet. It tends to be iron, particularly for menstruating females, but I think it can be exacerbated by strictly adhering to a Mediterranean diet, particularly if you're not paying particular attention to it. CoQ10 is the last one to note, which is a common antioxidant that is used for those particularly aged over 35 for egg quality benefits, and may also be used to enhance sperm quality too. Interestingly, this has been researched and they have done some trials where they've done the Mediterranean diet and then added some extra CoQ10. However, it wasn't done in a fertility context. It was actually done with a small group of elderly men and women, and they did show an improvement in reducing oxidative stress, which is one of our markers of inflammation. And we know that too much oxidative stress can hurt both eggs and sperm. So no studies yet in the fertility space, but I thought that was interesting to note nonetheless. You may be thinking the practicalities of eating in line with a Mediterranean style diet. You may be thinking, I don't want to eat Italian, Spanish or Greek food every night or even at all. Is that what is necessary to follow a Mediterranean style diet? The short answer is, I mean, you can if you want, but you don't have to. You can absolutely enjoy modern Australian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, or Korean meals applying a Mediterranean principle. Yes, it may lose a little bit of its cultural mainstay fat of peanut or sesame oil, ghee, or coconut milk. Substituting that with extra virgin olive oil is your best bet if you are going to regularly consume these types of meals. You can overcome the taste issue of olive oil in these meals. Personally, I don't taste olive oil anymore because I don't know any different. But I do know that for many people, switching from something like ghee or coconut oil to olive oil is going to affect the flavor of the dish, which is totally understandable. So you can start to transition by mixing and using a lightly flavored extra virgin olive oil, which is light in flavor, not on the fat. So just keep in mind, they use a different type of olive for that particular blend. What I would recommend is not abandoning one for the other right away, particularly if you're not quite, your taste buds haven't quite yet adapted. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if your mom or dad or in-laws bring over a traditional dish that's made with one of these other types of fats that you can't eat it or you should reject it. Of course not. But if you're looking to kind of tweak and align some of the way that you eat to different cuisines whilst using these Mediterranean style principles, you do need to be perhaps a little bit flexible and creative in the way in which you go about that. But obviously, I'm a big advocate for keeping some of your cultural foods, so there is no need to completely strictly cut anything out that's not the Mediterranean style ethos at all. Now, you may need to ease into it, but in the long run, your heart and your body will thank you for it, as this is the most antioxidant-rich oil. It's the best to cook with at home and provides an excellent fatty acid profile to support your health and fertility. My top practical tips to implement a Mediterranean-style diet today for your fertility is 1, despite the inclusion of red wine in the dietary pattern, it's probably best to abstain from alcohol when trying to conceive for both females and males. 1 to 3 months minimum prior to active conception, actively trying, or IVF. 2, focus on the daily foods category first and foremost. If you're eating more meat or chicken to start with, don't fret. Just get started with adding plenty of fruit, veggies, nuts, seeds, legumes and beans, whole grain. Of course, extra virgin olive oil and herbs and spices. Use extra virgin olive oil exclusively to cook with, dress salads with, bake with. Soon I'm going to be posting a delicious baking recipe with a lemon olive oil cake to our Instagram page at @the_dietologist featuring, of course, Cobram Estate extra virgin olive oil. So stay tuned for that one. Cobram Estate's Instagram page also has so much recipe inspiration as well. Their handle is @Cobram Estate, and I'll leave that linked for you down below too. My next tip is to cook from home. This is strongly encouraged on the Mediterranean dietary pattern. Takeaways are likely to not utilize extra virgin olive oil, contain significantly more saturated fat, salt, sugar, and contain fewer servings of veggies. My next tip is to eat seasonal. Grab what you can from your local grocer and don't be afraid to branch out from your usual broccoli, carrot, and green beans and embrace something a bit new, a bit different, and explore. My last tip is to stock the cupboard with some essentials, nuts and seeds, keep the fruit bowl filled with fresh fruit to snack on. have Greek yogurt in the fridge for a dessert, topped with a little honey and some walnuts if you wish, or you can blend these into a yummy summer icy pole as well. That's another hack that I like to give, especially after dinner. There is nothing better than something cold to snack on before bed. I'll leave some links to how to stock your pantry for a Mediterranean style diet, a blog article I wrote previously about the Mediterranean diet for fertility, and also our Mediterranean meal plans for fertility down below as well. What and how you eat has a profound effect on your physical and your mental health. The Mediterranean diet with extra virgin olive oil at its heart is one of the most studied dietary patterns and comes out as a clear winner for your health. You gain maximum benefit from about 2 to 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil a day, and by teaming your oil with vegetables, you get a double whammy effect, as the extra virgin olive oil can help better absorb some food components found in vegetables, e.g. glucosinolates found in broccoli and carotenoids found in carrots. Cobram Estate produces the highest quality extra virgin olive oil you will find on the supermarket shelf. Founded by 2 Australian farmers with a passion for quality, their olives are harvested and cold pressed in northwest Victoria within 4 to 6 hours to deliver exceptional freshness and taste. When it comes to extra virgin olive oil, the fresher it is, the better it is for you. You can find Cobram Estate's collection of premium quality Australian extra virgin olive oils at any leading supermarket, or use the code FFF20 for 20% off when purchasing direct from their website at cobramestate.com.au. And that's FFF for fertility friendly food. In summary, the Mediterranean dietary pattern is a generally safe and reliable dietary pattern to adopt to support both female and male fertility. However, it's not without its potential little potholes nutritionally, namely choline, calcium, iron, zinc, and CoQ10. They may need some particular TLC and refinement based on your individual scenario. So I encourage you to reach out if you need further support. The link to work with us, as always, is in our show notes. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. Don't forget to hit follow on whatever app you are currently listening to this podcast on. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. It makes such a difference to our little podcast, reaching more people. And don't forget to share it with someone who would find it useful too. Until next time. Fertility Friendly Food, the podcast, acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises the continuing connections to lands, waters and community. We pay our respects to First Nation cultures and to the elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to all First Nations people tuning in today. This podcast is recorded on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.